Good morning. Good morning. Absolutely beautiful day out there. I hope you're able to enjoy it. You know, sometimes when I say that, I think to myself, maybe there are people in hospital beds and things like that. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but I've been in hospital beds, confined, couldn't get outside when all you can see is the sunshine, and kept me delightful, or delighted in me anyway, a little bit. So as a word of encouragement, if you are for some reason unable to get outside, that's a goal to work towards, right? So good morning. Later on today, we'll have the mayor of New Bedford here. He'll give us an update on what's going on in the city. There's a lot of stuff going on. And till the mayor gets here, we'll have open phones. Tomorrow, I'll have Rick Trapillo. Rick is running for the select board in Fairhaven. Trying to get all those candidates through here, those that want to come through. It's very important. The election in Fairhaven will be June 9th. So it's really just a few days away. We've had Miles Grant in. We've had other candidates in as well. And it was all very enjoyable stuff. The Prop 2.5 ballot question will be on the ballot, as well as Pam Kieschler, who is also running for the select board. We've had her in. So you've got the decision to make in Fairhaven whether you're going to do a general proposition 2.5 override, or whether you're going to see local government shrink a little more, okay? And again, nobody can make that decision for you. Only you can make it. You know your personal finances and your personal opinions about local government. So try to distance from the noise and make a decision that you think is based on the best decision you can make for you and your family. So that's all I can say about the Prop 2.5 override. But certainly we're taking phone calls on that as well. Yesterday I mentioned that we got reached out to by a public relations firm, actually, that is representing the Old Rochester Regional School, I'm sorry, the Old Colony Vocational School District. And it's a well-known public relations firm that handles other local governments in the area. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And they are looking to get the superintendent here on the air, and I'm certainly happy to do that. A superintendent is a important figure. They're all very knowledgeable. You don't have to always agree with them, but you want to listen to them to understand why they want to build this new Old Colony school. So it'll also give you the opportunity to ask the superintendent of schools questions. Now, he seems to be a very open guy to me. I see him at a lot of meetings. I see him on video at a lot of meetings. I'm not there. But it is a curious question. Are you interested in raising your own taxes to build a big brand new vocational school that'll service the towns of Mattapoisett, Lakeville, Acushnet, Carver, right? Acushnet, Carver, Mattapoisett, Lakeville. That is the district that will be serviced by a new vocational school known as Old Colony. And Rochester, too. Yeah, I knew there was another. Rochester is in there as well. And I'm not sure if they're doing it again. I haven't looked, but you can help me with this if you've looked. Do they have a tax calculator at the Old Colony website where you can figure out how much your taxes will go up if you vote in the positive? Now, keep in mind, I know a lot of you out there know this already, but this will be the second vote. The first vote didn't pass, but the Old Colony Regional School Committee is bringing it back again. So is it a case where you're going to keep voting until they get the answer they want? And I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but that can be grating, right? That can be offensive to people who value the democratic process. To say, wait a second, are we going to keep voting until you get the result that you want? And then that's it? Can we vote again if it passes? Can we vote again to try to not pass it if it passes? Do we get that option? I mean, those are all kind of questions that come up when you vote something again. It was overwhelmingly defeated by the taxpayers, by the voters in the towns that use the school, but they're bringing it up again for another vote. So that can be offensive. And if you live in Acushnet, Mattapoisett, certainly Rochester, Lakeville, Carver, you want to call in on that? Because I'm curious. You may support the school, and you may have voted for it the first time. But is there a possibility that you say, wait a second, I know I voted for this, but my neighbors turned it down, and I don't like doing things over again just because the powers that be didn't get the result they wanted. Now, let me qualify by saying I literally did that. I literally put up a vote in the town of Freetown years ago now to build a new school. We needed to build it, and it did not pass. So we brought it up again, and then it did pass. So what I'm saying, saying about that school committee and that superintendent, I literally have done it myself. I'm just saying that I know that you get a lot of backlash from it, and it's a reasonable question to ask. Are we going to keep doing this till the powers that be get their way? And what about those of us that won when it got voted down? Don't our opinions matter? You're going to just keep doing it over again? So it's an important question beyond really the school. Speaking of building, in New England, framing has to stand up to the elements. That's exactly what Shoreline Framing Incorporated is built for. Dave Silvera, he's a personal friend of mine, and his team bring more than 20 years of residential and commercial wood framing experience to every job, from custom homes to large commercial projects. Shoreline Framing delivers strong, precise craftsmanship designed for coastal New England conditions. We live in a different part of the country, right? What maybe works in Ohio, California, doesn't work here. But Dave Silvera and his team know all about that. This is where they work. This is where they live. Reliable crews, quality work, and framing built to last. For advanced residential and commercial wood framing, trust Shoreline Framing. Contact Dave Silvera and Shoreline Framing Incorporated in Dartmouth to discuss your next project. Write this phone number down, 508-962-0977. Again, call Dave Silvera and Shoreline Framing Incorporated in Dartmouth at 508-962-0977. Take a break. We'll be right back. Open phones, guys. Remember, the mayor will be here at 11 o'clock. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. It's a beautiful day out there. Taking your calls. The question I asked, and it's kind of open phones, so if you've got a topic you're interested in, I'm sure everybody else is as well. But this redo of the old colony vote. They want to build this big school out there, and I don't think anybody says they don't need it, but you got to raise your taxes significantly to fund it. And in part because of all the Green New Deal building codes that are in that building. That's really one of the driving costs. That's why it's eye-popping number. But it was defeated already, overwhelmingly, quite frankly. But the elected officials, the powers that be, are going to bring the vote back again. So how do you feel about that? Even if you support the school, does that offend you at all? What do you say? Look, we need it, and if we're going to keep voting until we get my way, which is kind of some of the attitude out there, right? All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
And yes, it is such a beautiful morning. It is.
What's happening?
Well, in regards to this school, I wouldn't mind. First of all, it wouldn't affect me. I don't live in any of those districts.
Okay.
But in answer to the question of what I think is that if the vote was close, yes, bring it back. But if it was overwhelming, I would say no, because if I was a resident, now I would be upset. Mm-hmm. Because if it was like 90 against and only 10 for it, it's like, what is it you guys, not you guys, but you know, the people trying to bring it back, is not understanding. It's, you know, we don't want it. It's almost like an insult to us. And it's like you said, what are you going to try to do? Wear us down by bringing it in every year, every year, every year? I would be getting very upset with my elected officials. I'd be going to a selectors meeting and say, hey, knock it off already. You know, you had more than 50% of the populace saying no. What is it you're not understanding? And that's my take on it.
Yeah, I get that that's out there because you say, look, the community has spoken. We went through this. There was a significant education period. We made a decision. Do we get the opportunity, those who oppose the school, if now it passes, do we get another vote to vote it down? You know what I mean? Like, they're going to keep voting it until they get a yes answer. Is that the plan? Or what about the, if then when it passes, can the no people say, we want another vote? And then it never ends.
And you're true. I mean, what's stopping, you know, somebody bringing it up the following year for a no? Or if it turns out that the town is having a special election for whatever reason, then they're going to slide this in, you know, to redo it again. And like you said, it can be going back and forth, back and forth. Sooner or later, a decision has to be made. And like I said, if you have more than 50% of the people going, no, it's done. Why are you wasting your time? I would be very uncomfortable if I was an elected official to support a proposition like that if it was overwhelmingly, like you said, and I don't know the numbers, right, going by what you're saying.
Well, it's a bunch of different communities. So some communities were closer than others, but it was overwhelming. It was overall a no vote.
And then if it was overall no, end of the conversation. It's like, I think all you're going to be doing is maybe hurting the politicians, the selectmen, shall we? You know, which those towns are all selectmen anyway. They're putting them in the hot seat, and it's like, no. I wouldn't want to risk my political career when the people have already spoken. Like I said, if it was close, we have a conversation. But according to what I'm understanding here, it wasn't. And why would I want to stick my neck out as a selectman to support such a thing?
Well, the other thing is that as part-time elected officials, you only have so much time in the day. You only got so much political capital, if you will, and you got to prioritize things. And you've got other things you want to get done that this begins to take up all the oxygen. And so you can't move on other projects. So I think you're right about that. Hey, the other question I have for you as a city person, are you comfortable with the mayor's plan to try to close this deficit by laying off some firefighters and closing the fire station? Or would you like to have the option to override 2.5 to fund the budget to keep the firefighters?
Well, the way I look, it's a double-edged sword,
yes,
honestly,
always,
when you think about it. It don't want to see anything close, but do I want to see my rent go up because Proposition 2.5 gets overridden? The landlord's prices, taxes are going to go up, and it's going to reflect back down on me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I totally will.
So it's like, do I want to pay more? You know, it's like I'm only invested in the city just so much, you know?
Right.
But at the end of the day, that's really what it comes down to. I get it. And like I said, I'm not looking to see anything close, but nor am I seeing, as you've had plenty of conversations on the radio about, the cost of rent. And I'm almost 70. Okay. So it's not like, you know, what now I got to go to a job, part-time job, so I can pay my rent.
Right.
And, you know, what's it going to jump it up to now? Now, $2,000 a month in this city? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the old saying goes, it looks good on paper until you start putting it to work. And then you find where the problem is. And to me, the renters are going to catch the brunt of it. And they're already screaming now. How much more can we do? But I still, do I see anything closed? No. So like I said, it's a double-edged sword. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Thanks for participating. 508-996-05. I'm just putting it out there. The mayor has ruled out any proposition 2.5 override. City Council President Ryan Pereira has said it to me off the air, but I believe he said it on the air here with Tim as well. No proposition 2.5 override. They're going to work within the funds that they have. They are going to go to the limit of 2.5, which will raise taxes. But they're not going to go over 2.5, the levy 2.5. Your personal taxes may go up 2.5, more than 2.5%, but that's not what we mean by it. It's the overall levy. And to do anything over 2.5 would require a consent of the voters, like we're doing here in Fayhaven. They're going to try to do here in Fayhaven on June 9th. If you're looking for money, you very well may have a lot of money right in your yard. Probably you've been being nagged about to get rid of it anyway. Turn that junk car of yours into cash today. At Mid-City Scrap in Westport, we pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Mid-City Scrap in Westport, we pay top dollar for complete vehicles. Listen to this. You have a small car, get $400 to $500. Mid to large size car, $500 to $600. SUV, up to $700. Full size trucks, up to $800, all of it in cash. No games, no waiting, just fast cash and a better looking yard, maybe. Very simple. Call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug. 508-675-7831. Again, very simple. Call Joe, Johnny, Mark, or Doug at 508-675-7831. Mid-City Scrap, cash for junk cars, State Road in Westport. 508-996-05. It's open phones. The mayor will be here at 11 o'clock, so we'll pick up that conversation. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, hanging in there. You know, if you override 2.5, mm-hmm. they're still going to overvalue your home. So you're going to get a double whammy. So they keep raising that bar, and you're going to get hit on both ends. And if we're having problems trying to hang on now, you get rid of 2.5, all bets are off. It's ridiculous. Now, we're being told, you know, whether it's by the New Bedfordite, some other, the South Coast Today, I forget which one, but okay. $290 million at the school budget. And, you know, you get a lot of people, well, you can't touch it, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's way over $300 million. Okay. And we're only going to cut $4 million to the school department. Now, if it's about the kiddos, it's no problem. But we got a lot of people in up there in the executive office that we need to cut. Let's face it. And the mayor presides over the school committee. Oh, well, he's only one vote, blah, blah, blah. But he is the mayor.
Oh, yes.
And he can make those cuts. And we just got here. It's no coincidence, Chris, that now we got $32 million in the hole. And we were told it was back in December 25, was $13 million surplus. You know what the bottom line, whether you're New Bedford or surrounding towns, they just want to keep spend. Spend your way into the oblivion and break the bank. It's like a big gravy train. Everybody wants to get pay raises. But you know, Chris, when you work in a private sector, they make cuts, and then when you get your insurance plan, you're going to take more out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's the pink slip that's going to go around. You know what I'm saying, Chris?
I do.
And that's where we are today. I mean, the mayor can circle the wagons all day long. But he shares the blame in all of this. And I understand from from the city councils coming on, the different ones. They can only do so much. They make general cuts here and there. But the mayor, Harry Truman said it best. The buck stops here. He's got that pen. He can make the cuts, additional cuts, if he wants to. No new services or new hiring, it's $8 million going to make a cut. As far as positions and eliminations, layoff, another $4 million. And then we're going to go $16 million up on our taxes. That means hundreds and hundreds of dollars that are going to be imposed on us and small businesses. Every year, I believe it's 25% or more year over year since this guy's been in as mayor that we've gone up on our taxes. No tax relief. Guy's going to look in the mirror and he keeps blaming, oh, it's the state aid. We can cut. Yes, I understand it's the state aid. Well, it's the city council. They don't want to come in and talk to the police union and the different unions. Let's get all at the table and talk about pensions and talk about health insurance plans. But yeah, Billy Sylvia, the head of the firefighters union, said not once as the mayor sat down and talked to them. We got a police department that's working without a contract that hasn't once the mayor gone to sit down with them and try to negotiate something. But yet we had added more administrators to the police department. Does that make any sense? Absolutely not. So he's saying the sky's falling, you're going to pay up. That's what the mayor's saying when he's part of the problem.
Thank you for the call, my friend. 508-996-0500. There's no doubt about it. People are being stretched. Gasoline price, I know they've gone down a little bit. And I think we'll be on that seesaw for a while until they finally annihilate Iran, really. Let's be honest. That's what has to happen. I hope the president and the military is able to finish that job so that the world doesn't get held hostage like they currently are, but by the Iranians, the Straits, and but my point is, everybody's being stretched. We're still getting over the COVID-related inflation. Whatever you think about how the government reacted to that, and we all got opinions, the reality of it is all that spending, or all of it, created a ton of inflation, and we got to deal with it. So we're still dealing with that, plus we're dealing with the increasing temporary, I hope, gasoline prices, but also all the cost of government is going up, some due to the COVID-induced inflation, COVID-related induced inflation, but the general cost of everything is going up, and that translates into government spending going up, right? Because they use the same lights that we use, all of that stuff, same gasoline prices, and the taxpayers have to pay it all, plus they got to pay for their lives. So it's a perilous situation, and can you give any more to the government? And they're being asked. We're being asked in Fairhaven. You personally are going to have to make that decision. If you live in Acushnet and Rochester, Mattapoisett, Carver, Lakeville, you're being asked to build a new school. Now, the mayor of New Bedford put his plans for a new police headquarters on hold. But that doesn't take the need for it away, and it's only going to, quite frankly, cost more in the future. I think that's part of the argument you're going to hear from the old colony people, is that we're going to need that school. We need it now. We're going to need it later. And costs are only going to go up later. But we'll eventually, hopefully next week, I'll get the superintendent for the old colony system in. He reached out to me, so we'll do that. All right, 508-996. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris McCarthy. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Steve. How are you? Hey, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Listen, my son graduated from Volk Friday, last Friday.
He's hey, congratulations.
Yeah, we got to get him working. Because, the mayor was mentioned in at the Volk, and people are waking up. He was getting booed.
Really?
He was at Volk school. Nobody clapped for him, and a lot of people were booing him. Yeah, at Volk last week, I couldn't believe it. But, yeah, you know what it's all boiling down to? Homelessness. I think there's going to be a lot of homeless people when the rents go up again. Who the hell is going to be able to afford to pay these rents, Chris?
No, I agree with
you. It's already high. I mean, my kids come back to live home with me because things are going too good. You know, they can't afford anything. So I'm glad they came back because they're helping me pay my rent.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I'm disabled from my, I did go to a windshield of a car. I had a bad head injury in 86. But, I mean, things have gotten tougher and tougher as time's going on. I mean, my friend told me, he says, that guy, John Mitchell, this was before he got in. He said, if he ever gets in, taxes will be going up every year for as long as he's in there. And that kid was right. He passed away already, my friend. But, Chris, nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Steve.
Day.
Thank you.
Love you, man.
Congratulations. Thanks. Congratulations on your son graduating. Look, it's okay to disagree with the mayor. I find it to be very disagreeable to boo the man. That's, look, at one time you only have one mayor. And none of us understand, with the exception of, really, the only person around would be Scott Lang and Bullard, the former mayor Bullard. They've been the mayors of the city of New Bedford. Fred Kalis isn't with us. Rosemary's not with us anymore. It's a difficult job. And I wouldn't want to do it. I, quite frankly, wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Really, it's a hell of an honor. Scott Lang always tells me, he picks me up Saturday afternoons from dialysis, most Saturday afternoons. Scott's right there for me. And he says it's the greatest job in the world. But there are a lot of pressures, and it's how you handle them, right? And I don't think booing John Mitchell is appropriate. I don't. I really don't. And by the way, I don't think it's an effective lobbying strategy either, okay? It's not. It's really not. Anyway, he'll be here at 11 o'clock. No booing, but you can call up and ask a serious question or an unserious question. Many of my questions are unserious with the mayor. I find him to be enjoyable company, and I'll be with him at 11 o'clock. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. What a beautiful day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley Ale House. It's noontime somewhere. Get to Rose Alley. Take a break, and then we'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back. Where have all the good times gone? Well, they're here at WBSM. You can reach us at 508-996-0500. It's probably what you ask yourself when you get a drain clog or a sewer clog. Where have all the good times gone? Why is this water backing up? Look at all that disgusting problems I got to deal with. Well, when drains back up or septic systems fail, stress hits fast. You start asking, where have all the good times gone? Well, at Bass Ready Rooter, they can bring those good times back. They've been providing same-day solutions since 1974, just a phone call away. When drains back up or septic systems fail, call your friends at Bass Ready Rooter. They've been providing same-day solutions for 50 years. Why would you only call? Why wouldn't you not call them, right? Many people do, but it's not their first call. It's always their last call. Call Bass Ready Rooter for same-day service at 508-995-8012. Again, you should write this down. 508-995-8012. Bass Ready Rooter, or their website, bassready.com. So, we've heard a lot. We know prices are going up, including rent. And we've heard from some charlatans that want to bring back a really old, really bad idea from the 1970s, maybe the 60s, maybe even the 30s. Rent control. Rent control. It is a really bad idea that fits on a bumper sticker, right? So, people who are under pressure and don't have a lot of time to think things through hear an easy solution And they grab for it. And I don't blame people. I don't at all. But it is not a good idea, but you may see it on your ballot in November. Now, New Bedford Light has an article about some of the compromises that are going on with rent control rather than putting it on the ballot. Because, guys, it only leads to substandard housing and a lack of investment. In a state like Massachusetts that needs as much help as it can get to get capital investment, you do not want to put up artificial caps on the rate of return, the ROI, for investment dollars, because the money finds its best return. Capital flows to its best return. So money can just as easily be invested in New Hampshire, Florida, Georgia, places like that, as it can be in Massachusetts. It's going to go where it's going to get its best return. And putting rent control in is not going to help us. Because what we have to do, and you're seeing a lot of it in the region now, is build our way out of this. And to build, you need private capital. You need investors. You need entrepreneurs. You need labor to flow freely as opposed to under government restrictions, which is what rent control is. It's not a good program. Look at what's happening in Cuba, okay? Cuba, places like Venezuela, places like that, where they put in artificial constraints on the market and totally ruined their economy. So we don't want that here. The mayor, what's happening here, has spoken out about rent control. Remember, he's quite frankly, a liberal Democrat, and he's against rent control. You know who else is against it? Maura Healey is against rent control. So, like, what do they say? Even a broken clock is right twice a day. In this case, Maura Healey's made the right decision. Rent control is not a good idea. But there are compromises being looked at. Otherwise, it may end up on the ballot. But the New Bedford Light has a really interesting article. We're going to hear a little bit from the robot.
Local option under discussion as possible rent control compromise. By Colin A. Young / State House News Service. The campaign behind the proposal to implement statewide rent control said Tuesday that conversations with real estate industry representatives have been fruitful and may lead to a compromise that would avoid voters deciding the issue on November's ballot. We're having productive conversations with real estate leaders and are hopeful that we'll reach agreement on a legislative compromise that can avert the need for the ballot question, said Andrew Farnitano, a spokesperson for ProRent Control, Keep Massachusetts Home. A framework of an agreement dated May 28, obtained by the news service, describes a proposal to allow cities and towns to individually decide whether to opt into a rent control policy that would cap annual increases at the lower of either 10% or the increase in the consumer price index plus 5%. Keep Massachusetts Home is behind the ballot question that would cap your over-year residential rent increases at the same rate as the increase in the CPI or 5%, whichever is lower. Exemptions would be in place for new construction, owner-occupied units, and more. Proponents say the reform is crucial to keep residents housed and from fleeing for less expensive states. Opponents of the ballot question, including government. Maura Healey, say it would hamper housing production. They argue that just having a rent control question advancing to November's ballot has had a chilling effect on housing production in Massachusetts. Opponents of the ballot question, including Governor Maura Healey, say it would hamper housing production. They argue that just having a rent control question advancing to November's ballot has had a chilling effect on housing production in Massachusetts. Healey said in March that she got calls from six developers who had lost investment funds when the question was cleared to move ahead. That same month, The Federal Reserve said one of its New England sources attributed a pullback in multifamily housing investment to the rent control ballot initiative. The framework obtained by the news service would include many of the same exemptions as the ballot question, but would also allow property owners to reset rents to market rate upon vacancy and would open the door to rent control boards. We were formally contacted by the Yes campaign on Sunday with language that differs from the proposed ballot question. In good faith, we will review their proposal, said Connor Unitz, spokesman for Housing for Massachusetts, the ballot committee opposing the initiative. Our campaign is focused on policies that protect property owners, renters, housing production, and community budgets. When the Special Joint Committee on Initiative Petitions recommended last month that the legislature take no action on the ballot proposal, lawmakers on the panel pointed out that the statewide proposal was distinct from the most recent authorized rent regulation in Massachusetts from 1970 that allowed communities with over 50,000 residents to control rent increases. The 10 committee members voted unanimously to not get involved with the ballot question by the deadline for the legislature to single-handedly remove a question from consideration. Members of this committee acknowledge that there is a housing crisis across the Commonwealth that will likely take many different public and private sector solutions to fully address, the group wrote in its report. While there are members of the committee who agree with the
Okay, so that you can read more about that. I'll let the robot read it to you at newbedfordlight.org on rent control, the different ideas that are out there. Look, don't fall for the Marxist language switch. Rent stabilization. It's the same damn word, okay? It's the fact that you have really simple people who have very limited vocabularies trying to trick you into not using the proper words, but using their words, which literally mean the same thing, okay? Just that rent control, everybody knows, is a bad policy. So they're literally trying to substitute via a thesaurus the word control for stabilization and act like it's literally two different words when they mean the same damn thing. So when you hear Shane Burgo and those people, leaders of the Shane Danistas, saying it's rent stabilization, hey, dummy, get a thesaurus. It's the same word. It means the same thing. It means more homelessness, more rundown buildings, diminished tax base, lack of public service. That's what rent control, a.k.a. rent stabilization, really means. Now, Connor Unitz, he's a longtime Democrat, comes out of Brockton. He's one of the people leading the fight against rent control. It is mercifully morphed into a conversation between people who understand economics and people who ignore economics. The Cubans, the Nicaraguans, most of the left-wing Democrats who are really not progressive, but quite frankly, regressive communists, right? Who want to give more government control to people than they deserve, right? Than they've earned in real life. If you run out the producers, the capitalists, out of your state, you will starve. You will go homeless. That's the way it is. It really is. It's been proven that way all around the world. John Mitchell spoke to us about rent control. It's worth listening to.
Your opinion on this rent control ballot question?
Well, I'm against it, just to bottom line things, but I do. Just to put it a little bit in context, we here in Greater New Bedford, as well as pretty much everywhere in America that isn't rural, have had to contend with rising housing prices, both for buyers as well as renters. And it's tough. People, there's no shortage of people who are struggling to pay the bills, especially renters. But there are lots of people who are frustrated that they haven't been able to find houses they'd like to buy within their range. And so it's a tough problem. There are lots of reasons for it, but it comes down to a supply problem. There just isn't enough housing available for people, and housing, like any good housing or loaves of bread or crude oil, whatever, is in short supply. That puts upward pressure on prices. You've got, to oversimplify, more demand or more people demanding, more buyer potential buyers out there than that which is available. So prices are bid up, all else being equal. So the answer to that is to increase supply. And that's been, that's why we do things in New Bedford, like we lower parking minimums, mm-hmm. we're making permitting faster, we're doing, making in-law apartments available for people to build, a lot of these things, so that housing supply goes up. Because if housing supply goes up, that'll put downward pressure on prices. Rent control is a problem. And the problem with rent control is, I think a lot of people who, and I get the attraction, people will say, well, you know, why can't these developers who are making plenty of money just not make as much money, right, in exchange for having so that people can rent at more reasonable prices? What's so wrong about that? And the reality is, it doesn't it inhibits supply, the expansion of supply of housing. Housing is not developed by government. It is the narrow exception of public housing units in cities, which really don't add up to all that much in the big scheme of things. It's developed by the private sector, and the people in the private sector are in business to make a profit. And if you're telling them you can't make as much of a profit by virtue of instituting a cap on how much they can make, right, in rent, they're not going to build. And so that's what we've heard from developers here. We've heard from them that they are not, that if rent control is instituted here, nobody's going to build. And that's, and it's especially.
So that was the mayor from a couple of weeks ago talking about this rent control ballot initiative. The New Bedford Light's got an article about it. Again, guys, I think it's very important that we all pay attention to this, because it's really the future of the state. And if you're leaving, I don't blame you, but if you're leaving, it doesn't matter to you. But if you're planning on staying, you need to pay attention to this stuff. That's why you listen to WBSM. We'll be right back. Stick around.